Rat Pack, where you at?
Hey, what's going on? It's Monday, November 4th. I'm Jeff. This is The Rant. Week 9 almost done. So we're going to zip through each of the games, including we will talk about a head coach losing his job. Not a huge surprise for Dennis Allen, but we'll talk about that when we get to the Carolina-New Orleans game. But let's actually kick it off with, well, another season teetering on the brink here for the Dallas Cowboys. Of course, they did lose to the Atlanta Falcons. I don't think that was necessarily a huge surprise. Maybe if you're a Cowboys fan. Maybe if you're a Cowboys fan, you kind of expected it. But 27-21 on the Falcons side, Cousins was solid, 3 passing scores. He's going to be a streamer or better, you know, most weeks. Bijan, even though he didn't score a touchdown, put up some big numbers from a scrimmage yard standpoint. He had 26 touches in the game. Goes for 145 scrimmage yards, so all good there despite no touchdown. Kyle Pitts will bounce back. I know people are going to freak out because they always do over him, but he'll bounce back. Now, Drake London left the game. He scored a touchdown, but then left shortly thereafter, 2 for 27. Darnell Mooney stepping up without him, 5 for 88 and a score. To the other side, it's a mess. Dak Prescott looks like he's going to miss time. He left this game with a hamstring issue, so Cooper Rush becomes viable in Superflex. CeeDee Lamb had 8 catches, but only for 47 yards. And Cooper Rush isn't going to help the cause. Now, maybe the lone bright spot was Rico Dowdle. He ended up with 17 touches. He goes up over 100 scrimmage yards, has 107 and a touchdown. And Ezekiel Elliott seems to be on the outs with the team after not traveling with the team. Some disciplinary stuff there for Zeke. Moving on to the next game, we have Miami and Buffalo, a barn burner. Miami honestly looks really good. They were in Buffalo, and they lost by essentially a 61-yard field goal into the wind. Like, pretty nuts. Tua completed almost 90% of his passes. 231-2. One of them going to Achane, who had a monster game. 12 for 63 and a score on the ground. 8 for 58 and a score as a receiver. I mean, he's rolling. Mostert was used. I mean, Mostert really wasn't bad. He had 12 touches and... honestly, 56 rushing yards, 32 receiving yards. Not bad. He just didn't score any touchdowns here, but that's okay. I think he's very much worth a roster spot. And remember, he's still the primary beneficiary if Achane goes down. Not right. Tyreek Hill, 4 for 80. If this is what the floor looks like now, I'll take it. I'll very much take it. And how about Waddle? He goes 2 for -4 and a touchdown. That's one of the weirdest receiving lines I think I've ever seen. Oh, well. Over to the other side. No Amari Cooper. It was a little bit of a surprise. Hopefully you didn't get out over your skis on Keon Coleman. Khalil Shakir ended up being okay, but you know, this was a weird game from a passing standpoint. Like, Josh Allen had 3 passing scores, but they go to Ray Davis, Mac Hollins, and Quentin Morris. Not how we drew it up. Ray Davis still a handcuff. People are going to see the fantasy numbers and probably over exaggerate him. He only touched the ball 6 times in this game, so it's still James Cook. And hopefully Amari Cooper gets back for the next contest. Moving on to Vegas and Cincinnati. So Vegas, they ended up firing basically almost all of their offensive staff here. I don't think it's a huge surprise this happened. Gardner Minshew got benched for, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, the 3rd time this season for Desmond Ridder. Honestly, Jacoby Myers, Brock Bowers are still doing just fine. And that's the only thing that we care about. Those two guys are the only things we care about for the Raiders. Over to the Bengals side. So Chase Brown had himself a day. This is the first time we really saw what he looked like in his college days from a volume standpoint in his time with the Bengals. Like, we just haven't approached this yet. And now we did. With no Zach Moss, and Zach Moss should miss extended time, Chase Brown had 27 rushes for 120 and 5 catches for 37 and a touchdown. That was awesome. Jamar Chase, not a big yardage day, but he did catch 7 balls. If there is any solace here, he's always, he's waiting to explode at any moment. But Gesicki had his game, 5 for 102. I suspect there are going to be a lot of folks who chase these numbers. I am not one of them. I don't know how sustainable this would be. Well, obviously, this is like the peak level, but even just startable fantasy numbers out of Gesicki when T. Higgins comes back. And that could be as early as this week, right? So just something to note there on that front. Let me just double check too, by the way. So schedule upcoming here, Baltimore. That's a tough one. They are part of the week 12 Bymageddon. So you got Baltimore and the Chargers up next. You got Pittsburgh in week 13. Dallas in week 14 is not bad. I don't hate the stretch run here for the Cincinnati Bengals. So something to note there. All right, let's move on to Chargers, Cleveland. Justin Herbert has looked really good over the last month. He may be inching his way towards streamer territory, especially if Quentin Johnston can remain healthy and provide the spark that he is providing at various points this season. So he finally gets on the field. He goes up over 100 receiving yards, scores a touchdown in this game, and looked decent in the process. Ladd McConkey's still the lead receiver, but you know, he's not going to do what he did last week every single week, but he caught 5 for 64. That's solid. Josh Palmer, 2 for 63 and a touchdown. So if I was going to add anybody, it'd be Quentin Johnston because he did have the 4 catches compared to 2 for Palmer. But, you know, at this point, that's kind of it. I think Herbert is more intriguing, honestly. And then, you know, the backfield is rolling with J.K. Dobbins, 2 rushing scores for him. Jameis is going to be Jameis on the other side. He threw 3 interceptions, but he's still continuing to look to Cedric Tillman. I love that. 6 for 75 and a touchdown for Tillman. He's looking to Jerry Jeudy. Jeudy had 11 targets here, caught 7 for 73. I like that. And even though Elijah Moore didn't catch a lot, he caught 3 balls for 28. He did see 9 targets. I think the bigger concern, or the big concern here, is Nick Chubb. He does not look like the Nick Chubb we know. And that's obviously going to be very challenging for fantasy purposes here because I just don't see how he can put up the numbers that we're accustomed to and expecting. So just be careful with Nick Chubb. He's very, very sluggish looking so far this season. Moving on to New England and Tennessee. I mean, New England has a quarterback, so they got that going. And Ramondre Stevenson had 2 touchdowns. Hunter Henry is decent, 7 for 56. I just think, you know, it's Drake May, and then you build around him going forward. But he did look good yet again and managed, obviously, to clear concussion protocol. Ran 8 times for 95 yards. He threw some picks here. He's going to do that. I'm not worried about that part. To the other side, so we're hearing that Will Levis could potentially regain his starting job, like could be healthy enough to play in Week 10. I don't know why you don't just stay with Mason Rudolph. He looks pretty solid. But, you know, we'll see what happens. Tony Pollard, 28 for 128. Big volume game for him despite not practicing all week. He ended up with 31 touches. That's a lot. Nick Westbrook-Ikhine has scored in the last 4 games in a row. And this was his biggest performance out of them, 5 for 50 and a score. And Calvin Ridley was not bad here. If, like, this could be more of his floor instead of, like, the 1 for 12 floor that he has shown this season, then I'd be happy with it. He went 5 for 73. Like, that's not bad for a wide receiver 3. Like, not bad at all. All right, moving on to the next game. Washington and the Giants. Hey, the Giants played this game tough. There's no doubt about it. You know, Daniel Jones, yet again, another decent performance. And I know people are, like, calling for his job. He's had a couple down games, but for the most part, it hasn't been that bad. It really hasn't. And he had a nice rushing touchdown in this game. He goes 7 for 54 on the score, threw 2 passing scores. I mean, really, what else do you want from this dude? Both of them go to tight ends, but Neighbors did have 9 catches for 59 yards. Like, lower yardage total, but I'll take the 9 catches all day long. Tyrone Tracy still clearly ahead of Devin Singletary. Managed to clear protocol and played 41 snaps compared to just 18 for Singletary. Over to the other side, no Brian Robinson Jr., so you know, that sucked. But we did get Austin Ekeler filling in. They used Ekeler, Jeremy McNichols, and Chris Rodriguez, and all of them played 20 or more snaps. You know, nobody was like the clear-cut top guy, though Ekeler ended up with the fantasy numbers. So you had that. McLaurin, he had 2 catches. Both were touchdowns, though. So that's all that really matters, I suppose. Noah Brown's stock trending up a little bit. Like, I was a little hesitant because the numbers look better than what they really were last week due to the Hail Mary. But he had 5 for 60 on 6 targets in this game. So trending up a little bit for the deep league heads out there. Okay, moving on to New Orleans and Carolina. So New Orleans lost this game by a point. There were many who, including yours truly, had Carolina as one of the worst teams in the league for a bulk of this season. And as a result, Dennis Allen lost his job. So they're going with the special teams coach that looks like as the interim, and then they'll take it from there. I don't know what they do beyond this point, but I can tell you a couple things. First and foremost, Chris Olave had another concussion. Could that land him on IR, short-term IR, not season-ending? Yes, it could. Doesn't mean it will. So if you have him, just let's wait and see. You know, you can't do step five if you haven't done step one. And step one really here is waiting and seeing what the latest news is. I don't see anything as of right now, but there could be stuff that even breaks between when I'm recording this and when you're listening to it. So let's see what the next step is. So that's on that front. Alvin Kamara is going to continue to be heavily used regardless of who the head coach is. In this game, he had 35 touches. He had over 200 scrimmage yards. Pretty insane. All of that. Very, very insane. So at least you have that going for you. And then Derek Carr wasn't terrible, but is what it is. Over to the other side. I will tell you this. This is probably the best I've seen Bryce Young. Even though the numbers weren't the best, this was the best I've seen him play in his professional career. That's not saying much. But one thing that has been widely noted, the tippy toes thing. He throws off his tippy toes, and obviously you're going to float a lot of balls that way because you're not throwing off of a solid foundation. I didn't see that in this game. Now, I didn't, you know, admittedly, I have to go back and watch every single throw then just because I know somebody's going to be like, ha, you see, he did it here. But for the most part, it looks like that habit they've been working on, and he was throwing some balls with some velocity in this game. Jalen Coker, 2 for 36, probably not worth a roster spot, especially with Thielen coming back, because I think your main guys would be Legette, Thielen, and then maybe Jatavion Sanders. I mean, you have 4 for 87. The kid is super athletic. There was a reason why we liked him in, you know, dynasty rookie season. It just sometimes takes a while with these young tight ends, but maybe it's clicking for him sooner rather than later. Chuba had 2 rushing touchdowns, 15 for 72. Jonathan Brooks is expected back this week, so I don't know what that does to Chuba. I think Brooks is at least worth a dart, but I don't know exactly what all of this means just yet. I wouldn't be panicking if I have Chuba Hubbard. You could try and sell him high, but everybody else realizes that Brooks is coming back as well. Moving on to the Denver Broncos and Baltimore Ravens. Baltimore predictably was dominant in this one. Lamar was basically perfect, 280 and three. Two of them go to Zay Flowers, who was really excellent. You know, first half basically is all they needed Zay Flowers to do. He goes 5 for 127 and 2. He's going to be just fine with Deontay Johnson fully integrated. Johnson played 16 snaps in this game, so nothing there. If you have Johnson, expect more work going forward. And, you know, this is a great landing spot. He gets to play with Lamar. Lamar's playing amazing football. You know, all of it works out so well. So you have all of that there. The probably the player who's hurt the most was Mark Andrews. And even here, he comes back to the pack. This is Isaiah Likely barely played. Mark Andrews didn't play much either, but just 2 for 26 in this one. So not good. Derrick Henry continuing to roll. The epic season continues. It's just awesome all around for the Baltimore Ravens. On the other side, I'm still encouraged by Bo Nix, and he caught a touchdown. So he's the second quarterback in Denver history to do so. And the other one was John Elway. Like, he just keeps putting his name on lists with John Elway, which is not a bad thing. Cortland Sutton, he threw the touchdown pass, by the way, but also 7 for 122. Solid game for him. The backfield is where we have to look. So Javonte Williams and Jaleel McLaughlin have not been playing good football. And we heard from the team, from Sean Payton, Aldrick Estime is going to start getting more work. Now, this team could still end up being a playoff team. I don't want to rule that out. Like, they obviously didn't look like a Super Bowl contender, because the Ravens certainly are one of those, but they could still be a playoff team. So yeah, Aldrick Estime is going to be interesting in waivers. There's no guarantees with this dude, but and I figure there's probably going to be half a frenzy for him on waivers, but this is the time of year where this stuff happens. Younger running backs start to take over. Like, it's not coincidental that Tyrone Tracy has now fully asserted himself. So there might be something there. I would not be tripping over yourself to get this dude, but we'll talk more about that tomorrow. All right, on to the next contest, which is Jacksonville and Philadelphia. I was at this game. I saw the Saquon reverse hurdle thing, which, as you can see, is the cover artwork of today's episode. I saw it in person. It was insane. Like, he was insane. He almost had 200 scrimmage yards. He goes over 30 touches. He has a touchdown reception, a rushing touchdown. Jalen Hurts throws for 2 touchdowns. The other one was one of the catches of the season from Devontae Smith. Hurts ran for a score, ran for 67 yards. All of that was great, but there was one bad thing. AJ Brown left the game, partway through the game with a knee issue, so we'll have to update that. Hopefully I'll have more for you on the podcast tomorrow. I don't have anything right now on AJ Brown's injury, so that's all we can really do as of right now. Yeah, and I'm just scrolling just in case, and there's nothing. Over to the other side, the Jaguars were very quiet early. They turned it on in the second half. Like, Trevor Lawrence had a rough day, but at least he ran for two scores, so it was a decent fantasy day. Parker Washington, he led the receivers in targets. That's not any knock on Brian Thomas. Like, obviously there was a lot of attention on him, but 3 for 41 for Parker Washington, nothing special there. Really, it was Evan Engram, 5 for 45. That was kind of it. And by the way, Tank Bigsby significantly outsnapping Travis Etienne. His darn brother. I keep wanting to say Trevor Etienne because I've been paying so much darn attention to Georgia. Bigsby, 55% of the snaps, 31% for Etienne. No, we're not dropping Etienne or anything crazy like that. But obviously, this wasn't what we thought was going to happen. But this is the new reality for this backfield. Moving on to Chicago and Arizona. So Arizona dominated in this one, and, you know, just like we drew it up, there were rushing touchdowns for Trey McBride, Amari DiMercato, and Trey Benson. Sure, why not? Not for Kyler Murray, not for James Conner. It wasn't a boom day for Marvin Harrison. It was a bust day, and that's okay because they blew him out. I know it's not okay if you lost a fantasy matchup due to it, but, you know, everything deserves context. And remember, you're not winning your fantasy championship in week 9. You know, our goal is to get to the fantasy postseason, and let's not let this game drive us insane, because it will. It will if you let it. Otherwise, I mean, that's pretty straightforward over there. So Caleb's playing through an ankle injury. I don't know if that really changes the dynamic. Maybe it helps him as a runner, and then you could put some fantasy points on the board, because he really didn't do much of anything. 217, no passing scores, 4 carries, 5 yards. DeAndre Swift's streak was of 100-yard scrimmage games was snapped, but still 16 for 51. Okay, that's not good, but he chips in 6 for 31 as a pass catcher, so he gives you 9.1 PPR points right there. That's not bad at all. Rome Odunze had the biggest numbers, 5 for 104, but he saw 7 targets. Keenan Allen saw 10. DJ Moore saw 9. I still don't hate the idea of DJ Moore as a buy low with the fantasy trade deadlines approaching. Like, honestly, if your fantasy trade deadline is like close to Thanksgiving, it's probably too late, because you could run into the problem of bad teams helping out good teams. I really think right around now here, like week 9, is maybe the best time for it, because I don't have any leagues where anybody's out of it, like completely 0% chance of making the playoffs. But I have a league where that could be the case after week 10. There is one team, and you really don't want that team impacting, well, at least I wouldn't want them impacting the outcome of the league by trading away players to teams that are still in it and competing for the championship. So something to note there. Okay, only a few games left, so let's do Detroit and Green Bay. I don't really want to take much away from the statistics in this game due to the weather conditions. But wow, Detroit is the real deal. And they are currently the second favorite to win the Super Bowl. The Chiefs are the only team ahead of them. And it's hard to deny that they're undefeated, and they've kind of had a good run with Super Bowls here recently. But Detroit looks like the real deal. Like, and this is a game that you expect to see out of a team like this. You know, people were making a big deal about them being an indoor team. It didn't matter. People are making a big deal about the Packers, you know, and how they've played recently. Yeah, none of it mattered. None of it mattered. Detroit looks like the real deal. And it's not a knock on the Packers at all. Jordan Love played through injury, ended up throwing for 273. I think as he gets healthier too, then we get back to more consistency out of the wideouts. At least you had Jaden Reed do a decent job here, 5 for 113. Unfortunately, Emmanuel Wilson scored the touchdown, not Josh Jacobs, but what are you going to do on that front? All right, Rams, Seattle. So Puka Nacua, after all that, ended up playing, and he got ejected. So I don't know what to do there, man. But we saw another big touchdown outing for DeMarcus Robinson. I don't think we should chase those points, though. I think he is worth, obviously, a roster spot. But, you know, let's be careful with that. Cooper Kupp, 11 for 104. Huge game. I don't know what it looks like if Puka Nacua is fully healthy and not ejected. Nacua did see 4 targets, only caught 1 for 11. rough outing for him. Kyren Williams will have better days ahead. I thought Seattle did a nice job of defending him. Over to the other side, Jaxon Smith-Njigba took full advantage of no DK Metcalf. So he had 7 for 180 and 2. And this could have been way bigger than that. Like, this should have been a 200-yard day. If you watch the game, it's pretty wild. What does all this mean? Like, I had somebody say, would you sell high on him? No, I wouldn't. You know why? Because I think this is, he's not going to produce like this every week. Obviously, this was like a season high type game. But he has clearly passed Tyler Lockett. Like, it's not close. And you'll get DK back, hopefully after their bye. I mean, everything seems to point that way. Then you have those two, you know, down the stretch. And Geno Smith, another 300-yard game. Like, he's not on pace for 5,000 yards anymore, but it's still on pace for over 4,800 yards. So they're going to throw the ball around the yard, you know. And honestly, even though they're at the bottom of their division right now, record-wise, they're not out of it. So I don't mind Jaxon Smith-Njigba whatsoever going forward. And just like I said with Kyren Williams, better days will be ahead for Kenneth Walker. He did get to double-digit PPR points, though. All right, Indianapolis and Minnesota to round it out. And in this game, I mean, Flacco didn't hit, but this was an excellent defense he faced. I'm not trying to make excuses for him necessarily. It's more to try and calm any panic that people might have regarding Flacco for fantasy purposes. It was an excellent defense he faced. Like, I have no concerns, no major concerns about Flacco going forward. He did target Josh Downs 9 times, 6 for 60 for Downs. Pittman only 4 times. I want to see Pittman more involved. Like, very surprising that, you know, it was just 1 for 14 for Pittman. And maybe that was partially just Miami keying him. But that's really the secret sauce, I think, going forward. And, you know, I really like Shane Steichen's offense. You got a little tricky stretch here. You got Buffalo, Jets, Detroit. But you do have New England. They're a week 14 bye. You got Denver, Tennessee, Giants in the postseason for fantasy postseason. I don't hate that. To the other side, Sam Darnold, 3 passing scores. Now, he had some mistakes. He is Sam Darnold. 2 interceptions in this game, but 3 passing scores. Now, don't chase Josh Oliver's production. 5 for 42 and a touchdown. In the game, of course, that TJ Hockenson returns. Hockenson ran 23 routes, which is encouraging. Oliver only ran 12. So I wouldn't worry about that at all. 5 for 42 for Addison with the touchdown. He'll be boom or bust. Jefferson is fantastic. He doesn't score a touchdown, but he goes 7 for 137. That's awesome. Tougher day. I expected more on the ground from Aaron Jones, 21 for 64, but he caught for 4 for 18, so that helped get you to the double-digit area for PPR scoring. All right, you know, not the end of the world. Okay, so tomorrow, couple big things. Obviously, it's election day, but it's also NFL trade deadline day. That happens at 4 o'clock. Tomorrow's a weird day for me because I actually have my radio show moved because of the trade deadline. So I think I'll probably wait until the afternoon after I get off the air at 3 o'clock to record the podcast in case anything crazy happens in that final couple hours before the trade deadline. But, you know, normal news, top 10 waiver ads type podcast like we usually do on Tuesdays. We also have the college football playoff rankings at 7 o'clock tomorrow as well. So that's going to be interesting to see how that all unfolds. This is the first year with 12 teams in the college football playoffs. So cool day for sure. Not to mention the election. So a lot going on tomorrow. But, you know, hey, we keep rolling. It'll be week 10. Week 10, it's not over, man. You still have 5 weeks left in the fantasy regular season. So there's a lot that can happen over that span of time. But, you know, we'll keep rolling. We'll keep you as prepared as possible, like usual. FTNFantasy.com, promo code RATPACK for 10% off. Hey, if you like college basketball, by the way, that starts this week too. And we have college basketball betting content all the time at FTNFantasy.com. I am on socials. I am at Jeff Ratcliffe on Twitter, at Jeff Ratcliffe on Instagram. And, well, yeah, I'll catch you on the flip side. I'm Jeff, and I'm out.